Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to... Okay. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live on 90.7 FM, WGXC Broadcasting, Icarus Catskill, Hudson. Okay, cool.
Are we in a dream right now? Please, can somebody pinch me?
Ow! Definitely awake!
Design, develop, scale, repeat. Wix Studio, the platform for agencies and enterprises.
Hey, you moved my stump! I'm gonna wreck it!
I can fix it! I have been waiting decades to do what I'm getting ready to do now.
Dwayne Johnson is making up for past mistakes. On Sunday, the 50-year-old movie star explained to fans on his Instagram that when he was younger, he used to steal Snickers bars, quote, every day from a 7-Eleven in Hawaii. Years later, he is making that wrong a right by returning to that store and paying it forward.
Where's your Snickers? When I was 14 years old, every day I used to stop here at this 7-Eleven and steal a king-size Snicker bar because I couldn't afford to buy one. That was my pre-workout food. I did that for almost a year every day. I had to come back and buy every Snickers bar on those shelves.
What's your name?
BK.
Ring all these up.
BK's like,
Not only did the Black Adam star buy every Snickers bar in the store, but he also paid for other customers' items.
You guys, come on.
Oh my God.
You're welcome. We got you, brother. Come on. You want anything? You got anything?
Thank you.
Let's do it.
How much? $98.
That's just for you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
I'm going to leave these here.
If somebody looks like they're stealing Snickers, give them these so they don't steal it.
Thank you.
After decades, I have a high. Now come on over here. Let's take a picture.
I got to go. The rock is here. Bye.
After decades of me wanting to come back home to 7-Eleven and try and make good, that felt really, really good. I'm out.
In his caption, the Jumanji star revealed that his family was evicted from Hawaii in 1987. But even after having a successful wrestling and acting career, his shoplifting weighed on him. Quote, "We can't change the past and some of the dumb stuff we may have done, but every once in a while we can add a little redeeming grace note to that situation. And maybe put a big smile on some strangers' faces," he wrote in part on Instagram. Dwayne's life has changed a lot since he was 14. He went on to be a professional wrestler for WWE and since transitioned into acting, becoming one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Since finding massive success, he has continued to give back, supporting kids with cancer, surprising students with disabilities, and he even bought his mother a home. But above everything else, The Rock is still a proud dad. In October, he told Access Hollywood, Zuri Hall, that he works hard to be a present father.
You know, you made every parent feel seen when you were open about the fact, presence, right? Wanting to be more present, particularly now with the younger ones. Why was it so important for you to be open about that? And how are you present now? How does Dwayne show up for the little girls besides getting awakened with water balloons in the morning? Is it better than coffee?
God.
The show of a boy that accidentally becomes a superheroine. This show came under a lot of scrutiny when it released, and it came from both sides. You know, reactionary conservatives were upset because they felt the show would confuse children, while GLAAD, or G-L-A-A-D, an organization that fights anything defamatory to the LGBT, and they also attacked the show. So I figured this was the perfect show to put in my two cents. This guy, named Guy, very on the nose, accidentally finds a secret family heirloom, and his sister Kelly figures out that their aunt was a superhero, and of course Guy puts it on to make fun of girly things, and he gets turned into Shizhou, the ultra feminine superhero barfing pink.
I'm a dude.
Well, now dude look like a lady.
Not only that, but the ring can't come off, so he's stuck being the superheroine for life. This setup, given that Guy is very much anti-girly things, seems like a setup for an immature boy to learn how to not be so short-sighted. How they actually deliver on it, if at all, will completely make or break the show. And if you loved Miles Morales, we got the setup where their dad being a cop and hating the superhero. I guess that's actually Gwen also. I know, I never made that connection until now. And the dad being a cop makes a lot of sense given that, how do I say this without getting demonetized? There's a
I feel as if this video is brought to you by Nebula Classes, a brand new feature on Nebula, and the only place where you can watch my brand new comprehensive class on how to use animation to take your videos to the next level, where I share all of my best techniques and details on how I edit Volksguy's videos to the highest quality I possibly can. More on that later. Kendrick Lamar Duckworth, born June 17, 1987 to a working-class family in Compton, California, one of the most infamously poor and violent cities in the state. Kendrick Lamar, Pulitzer Prize winner, Grammy Award winner, the Coltrane of hip-hop. Millions of albums sold. We know who he is. He's the greatest rapper of our time. But how did he get there? As the story goes, it was 1984 and Kendrick Lamar's parents, Kenny Duckworth and Paula Olivier, found themselves
In my previous job as a finance director, I had to do a lot of writing. Most of us are terrified of writing because of
Oh, underdog, speak to me, speak to me.
There's no need.
was like, yo, this motherfucker ain't gonna make it. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna show you. That's where it comes from. I wasn't that good, so I know what the work can get you. I don't care if you was a McDonald's All-American or a tradition. We all bleed the same. But other than that, man, we gonna go at it. You don't scare me none. I don't care how big your name is, what your contract is. At the end of the day, you gonna have to motherfucker with playing out there today. Hey. But that's why I play the game, as I tell everybody. Like, I don't do it for the fame. I don't do it for the money. I don't do it for nothing. The only reason that I do it is so when I go up against the guys that you can call out, they're gonna be like, that motherfucker go.
It's the ultimate teammate, the ultimate competitor, just the guy that you want to go to battle with.
The definition of a two-way player competing on both ends.
They was like, yo, this motherfucker ain't gonna make it. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna show you. That's where it comes from. I wasn't that good, so I know what the work can get you. I don't care if you was a McDonald's All-American or a tradition. We all bleed.
Jimmy Butler is Michael Jordan's illegitimate son, and this is why. This rumor stems from the fact that in 1988, Michael Jordan would not claim an unwanted child in fear of destroying his marriage. The child took on the mother's name of Butler, and it was reported that Michael Jordan paid the mother off so he would not tarnish his public image and legacy, and this is around the time that Jimmy Butler was born, correct? Here's why this rumor is ridiculous. Jimmy Butler was born in 1989, and Michael Jordan didn't marry his first wife until November of 1989. There's no reason for him being worried about ruining his marriage that didn't even exist then. The biggest piece of evidence for this rumor is that Michael Jordan was in Houston 7 months before Jimmy Butler was born, because the Chicago Bulls played the Houston Rockets on February 3rd, 1989, and Michael Jordan was with the team. But it's still something people speculate about, because Jimmy Butler is playing out of his mind, which is making people think that Jimmy Butler is Michael Jordan's illegitimate.
There's darkness in the distance. I'm begging for forgiveness.
Butler throwing haymakers at each other. Butler drives, and he's fouled.
Oh, I love it and I hate it at the same time. You and I drink the poison from the same vine. Oh, I love it and I hate it at the same time.
We were at practice one day. Jimmy ain't came to no workouts. Nobody's talking. He comes in, Tibbs, he has this little thing he does. When he gets excited, his hands shake. He picked the Bad News Bears. No offense, but they was good players. He's like, I'm playing with them. We playing first game. We throw at the cat first play. Jimmy steal it. They go down and score. Jimmy starts talking to the gym. Everybody in the gym. Y'all better another effing pay me. I'm like that. I'm like, he is nuts. Me and D-Rose laugh. We in the game. We keep throwing the cat. Cat finally scored.
He too little. I'm like, yeah, Cat, talk to that mother. Man, he ain't nothing.
Time run out. They win. They beat us 18-6. Jimmy going crazy.
All my emotion came out at one time.
Y'all think that team can win without me?
Jimmy ain't scored at all. He just stealing the ball and passing people, getting assists, just playing the right way.
I'm him. Pay me.
I'm crying. I'm like, yo, bro, crazy. So we were at practice. So look, y'all remember when Jimmy Butler was on our team? It's a story going out about that whole situation, why he left. I'm gonna tell y'all what really happened. So we were at practice one day. Jimmy ain't came to no workout. So workout started.
He's on the plane. And Jimmy
was
traded.
On the plane too.
Yeah. Imagine getting traded while you on the plane. And they tell you at the beginning of the flight. So we all on the plane like, dang. Hey, you know I'm a jerk. So I'm like, who they trade for? And they like, we got Robert Covington and Dario. I said, what the fuck? Y'all traded Jimmy for him? But I was like, man, y'all playing.
Come take on, him with team.
Yeah. He's on the plane. And Jimmy
was
traded.
On the plane too.
Yeah. Imagine getting traded while you on the plane. And they tell you at the beginning of the flight. So we all on the plane like, dang. Hey, you know I'm a jerk. So I'm like, who they trade for?
So this man recently sued after getting pranked.
Why did you just call me again?
I didn't call you anything.
Why did you call me?
I didn't call you anything. Jake, you say you want to be a serious boxer. When in your career are you going to actually fight a contender in your weight class and not do gimmick fights?
I think he just called Mike Tyson a gimmick.
Mike Tyson's 58 years old, or will be at the time of the fight, yes. So as much as I respect
him?
Mike Tyson and his...
Why did you just call me again?
I didn't call you anything.
Why did you call me?
I didn't call you anything. Jake, you say you want to be a serious boxer. When in your career are you going to actually fight a contender in your weight class and not do gimmick fights?
I think he just called Mike Tyson a gimmick.
Mike Tyson's 58 years old, or will be at the time of the fight, yes. So as much as I respect Mike Tyson and his...
What did you just call...
They put you S in the same hotel as the team we play.
An atheist dies and...
Has a guy best friend.
Oh, wait, red flags this way, yeah.
He's the best friend.
When the Miami Heat made the NBA Finals in 2020, led by their ferocious and enigmatic leader Jimmy Butler, there were many people calling it a fluke, a one-off, luck of the draw. But the country boy turned five-time All-Star is no rookie when it comes to being underestimated. In fact, Butler has been overlooked and doubted not only throughout his NBA career, but his entire life, making his rise to success as one of the NBA's fiercest competitors that much more sweet. This is the story behind Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler III was born on September 14th, 1989, on the outskirts of Houston, Texas, in the small town of Tomball. And basically, from the moment he was born, Butler faced an uphill battle. His father abandoned his family when he was only an infant, and at 13, he was without a home.
My mom kicked me out of my house, to tell the truth. And I bounced in. In and out of
Irving and Curry, one on one. Irving puts it up. It's good. Kyrie Irving from downtown. Irving working on Thomas. Gets around.
Marcus's head and punched Marcus Smart in the
lower extremities.
Steph was out for revenge, as headed into the 2022 playoffs, Smart's dirty play had gone too far. Not only did he dive at Steph's ankles, almost causing him a severe injury, but on the same play, he also jump-kicked Klay Thompson. This came after a long history of Smart flopping to get calls as the Warriors were in constant disbelief, but Golden State would get true vengeance in the 2022 finals, as in Game 5, with the series tied 2-2, down 5, Smart would attempt to flop and lose his mind after no call, and Klay drained a 3. Then Marcus got a technical foul complaining, then he got an offensive foul as he hit Jordan Poole in the face, and Poole's jumper gave the Warriors an 11-point lead they would never give up. Golden State would also win Game 6 and the title as Smart shot 4-for-12 in the loss, showing us.
And more magic here in Game 6. Curry gets it, fakes, fires, three-pointer.
What caused Steph Curry to lose his head and punch Marcus Smart?
When criminals in this world appear and bring the laws that they should fear, and quite soon all who see or hear the cry goes up both far and near for underdog,
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 underdog, speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all, power of thunder,
underdog,
underdog,
underdog. World, the headlines read of those whose hearts are filled with greed, and rob and steal from those who need to right this wrong with blinding speed. Goes underdog,
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 underdog, speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder. Cry goes up both far and near for underdog, underdog,
underdog,
underdog, speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all the power of thunder,
underdog,
underdog,
underdog.
And welcome to Clubhouse Radio live on 90.7 FM, WDXC Broadcasting, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. I am your lovely John and your DJ Sean Money, and
I'm your host DJ Cola, and today we got a show all about, you heard it, and now we're doing it,
underdogs.
And how, you know, no matter how rough of a position you're in, just think about how better of an underdog story that's going to be for when you succeed.
Facts.
So we will be right back. After a song, no news and weather today. We texted the guy in charge of that, and none today, but we will do our impromptu version of that when we're back.
And besides, who's the best underdog you know? Spider-Man, of course.
I just came to my senses, yo. I stay in another dimension. Fear is non-existent. Suit up and swing through the city. Hey, annihilate. I'm wide awake. Be very afraid. I'm in my own world. Give me space. I'm in my own universe. Give me space. Yeah.
turn to spider woman if a biter. I will not go back and forth with you. I see you got the black widow with you. You should have had a black hero with you. I get an arachnophobia. I've been lit since I flicked the lighter. Since I was an instant busy spider, they been trying to wash the spider out. I got spiders crawling out your mouth. Spider-verse.
I just came to my senses. Yo, I stay in another dimension. Fear is non-existent. Suit up and swing through.
I'm chosen, I'm golden, I'm stronger, on missions, ain't no folding, a soldier, my vision, persistent, I took the game, it's over, I made a name, it's global, my enemy, pass over, I took it way to the top, I had to learn to be smart, I had to move with my heart, keeping my eyes on the part, cause it get evil and dark, evil and dark. When it comes to my opponents, I know how to beat them, I know to defeat them, living my life by the moment, somebody calling, somebody gon' need
me. I just came to my senses, yo, I stay in a
made 100 good stories. 100 good stories make me interesting at parties.
100 bad days made 100 good stories. 100 good stories make me interesting at parties. Yeah, no, I ain't scared of you. No, I ain't scared of you no more. No, I ain't scared of you. No, I.
Made 100 good stories. 100 good stories make me interesting at parties.
100 bad days made 100 good stories. 100 good stories make me interesting at parties. Yeah, no, I ain't scared of you. No, I ain't scared of you no more. No, I ain't scared of you. No, I.
Parties, yeah. No, I ain't scared of you. No, I ain't
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM WGXC, Acre Catskill in Hudson. Today, I'm your host, DJ Cola, and I am joined with...
Oopsie.
DJ Show Money.
And that song was 100 Bad Days by AJR, and that goes to show, no matter what terrible situation you're in, you can always make a comeback, and that is what today's show is going to be about, underdogs. But before that, let me just explain what Clubhouse is, because you're listening to Clubhouse Radio. And Clubhouse pretty much is a drop-in center, which is a community center, but better, because we're brought to you by the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green, and on top of a community center having... You know, snacks, food, a place to chill, TVs, PlayStations. We also have mental health professionals that you can talk to if you're having a rough time. And if you're not having a rough time, we're still here for you to make your time even better, because we got snacks, TVs, PlayStations, like I said. And we do field trips and a whole lot more. But today's show is about underdogs. So without further ado, let's get into it. Do you want me to start us off? All right. So I have a list of underdogs here, but I'm going to start off with one that I don't even need to look at my notes for, and that is Eminem. He is very much an underdog. He grew up without a father. His mother had very much substance abuse issues, which reflected on him and his music. And he also grew up in 8 Mile, which is pretty much in Detroit. It's technically not part of Detroit, but it's literally like... a walk away. Like, if you walk 5 steps, you would be in it. And despite all of that, he came through and he ended up being, you know, a millionaire. And a lot of his best work was inspired by his rough times. Like, some of his best work being, you know, cleaning out. You know, and I don't even want to prove my ignorance, because some of these songs are a little bit old. And believe it or not, this radio station is run by Gen Z. But when even his newer stuff, some of his best newer stuff, like, what was the one song that just released with Juice and M? You know what I'm talking about, right? Lace It. Yeah. Something like that. But yeah, you know. Absolute goat. And his best work being derived from some of his worst problems almost fits the last, you know, song too. 100 bad days make 100 good stories, and 100 good stories make you interesting at parties.
Godzilla.
Yeah, and Lace It. Godzilla and Lace It. You know, Juice WRLD is a good example of an underdog until, you know, rest in peace. But it just shows that people who struggle in life sometimes are some of the most interesting and rich people. Not only just rich in terms of money, but rich in terms of personality. So that being said, would you like to talk about some of your underdogs? Or play some videos that we got?
Yeah, I have videos. We'll play a little calming music and then we'll transition into that, alright?
Yeah.
Cool.
This is your brain. Is this a video I picked out or you picked out?
And this is your brain.
Ooh, all right, bet.
But we'll be back.
In the winter, Bron has. He's even had to live out of his mother's car. LeBron didn't have sleepovers just for fun. He slept on friends' couches to survive. Now, he's an NBA superstar and one of the richest athletes of all time. Here's LeBron's rags-to-riches story and a review of financial moves that took him from broke to a billionaire.
Also, just saying, by the way, this video is,
by
Nonstop.
You want to check out? If you like this stuff,
if you like underdog stories. Yeah, it's not us. Thank you.
LeBron James spent half of his childhood without a permanent home. His mother Gloria had him when she was 16, and by the time LeBron was 3, his grandmother had passed away. Without heat in their old deteriorating house, Gloria was forced to move around for LeBron to survive cold Ohio winters. They would stay with relatives or friends for a few weeks, with LeBron often sleeping on beat-up old couches. Out of 160 school days in the fourth grade, LeBron was absent for 82. Then one day, thankfully, LeBron found his guardian angel. That angel's name was Frank Walker Sr., whose son Frank Jr. played peewee football with LeBron. Finding out about his horrible living conditions, Walker offered Gloria that LeBron could live with his family until she finds a stable job and gets on her feet. It was one of the toughest decisions of Gloria's life, but she accepted, and the 9-year-old LeBron became the newest member of the Walker family. Finally, for the first time in his life, LeBron found stability. He had perfect attendance in fifth grade, with a B-plus grade average. Around that time, he also started playing AAU basketball and soon fell in love with the sport. In sixth grade, Gloria found a stable job and an apartment, and LeBron moved back with his mom. Throughout all hardships, he continued to develop his basketball skills, and in eighth grade, he was already dunking. As a high school freshman, LeBron was already so good that he led his St. Vincent St. Mary High School to an undefeated season and a state title. As a sophomore, James averaged 25.2 points and 7.2 rebounds, with 5.8 assists and 3.8 steals per game, and St. Vincent St. Mary won another state championship. And before his junior season, LeBron appeared on the cover of Slam and Sports Illustrated, which made him the most popular high school basketball player of all time. Life was good. Gloria and LeBron weren't homeless anymore, but they certainly weren't rich. However, there was a feeling that it was soon going to change. So, when LeBron was a senior, Gloria gifted him a $50,000 Hummer H2, which stirred national controversy. LeBron and Gloria were on public assistance at the time, living in a modest 2-bedroom apartment on Akron's tough West Side. There was no way they could afford such a luxury vehicle. But LeBron was months away from becoming the number one pick in the NBA draft, and it was the safest bet in the world to loan him and his mother the car. LeBron hadn't even been drafted yet and was already hanging out with pro athletes and rappers. He was driving an expensive car. Generally, he was still pretty broke. Which makes this next financial move completely bonkers and shows how crazy intelligent he is. When James was still playing for St. Vincent St. Mary, Reebok offered him $10 million. All he had to do was choose to sign with them and not accept any meetings with Nike and Adidas. At the time, LeBron was an 18-year-old kid who had been homeless half his life, and he was now holding a $10 million check. While 99.9% of people in the same situation would jump at that kind of money, LeBron turned it down. He realized that other shoe executives would also be desperate for him to wear their brand's logos, so he waited for a better offer. On the very next day, he was sitting in a high school classroom, broke as ever, knowing that if he got injured in practice, he might never see this kind of money again. But he bet on himself, and this proved to be the first out of many smart financial decisions to come. After months of pitches, whining, and dining, Reebok eventually offered James $115 million to sign with them. However, in late May of 2003, LeBron decided to sign with Nike, autographing a 7-year, $87 million contract. James chose the Swoosh brand because he believed it would be a better long-term fit, despite Reebok offering $28 million more. If he had accepted the initial $10 million offer, Reebok would have probably signed him for a much lower price. But because he rejected them, shoe companies were forced to bid against themselves and up the ante. And ultimately, James signed the biggest shoe deal in history for a rookie. In fact, LeBron wasn't even a rookie when he signed the shoe deal. He wasn't even drafted yet. The 2003 NBA draft happened 1 month later, where LeBron, as expected, was selected number one overall by the Cleveland Cavaliers.
His first NBA contract was for $18 million over 4 years, which means that LeBron signed two deals worth more than $100 million before he even played 1 minute of NBA basketball. Of course, King James proved that the hype was real and that investing money in LeBron was a smart call. In 2004, he became Rookie of the Year, and in 2005, he was already an All-Star and named to the All-NBA Second Team. With that kind of success riding the initial hype train, the LeBron mania amongst advertisers could only grow bigger. James became a brand ambassador for Coca-Cola, State Farm, Samsung, McDonald's, and many others. In 2006, the Cavs offered him a maximum rookie extension, and James signed for additional 4 years and $60 million. He could have chosen a 5-year contract, but he smartly opted for more flexibility over a few extra dollars, a move he often repeated in business, firmly believing in his worth. Come 2010, after his deal was up, LeBron became a free agent. He chose to announce his free agency decision on national TV. 13 million people were watching when LeBron uttered the infamous words.
In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
While the decision was tacky and it brought him hate from the entire NBA world, he did raise over $7 million, which LeBron donated to the Boys and Girls Club and various other charities. James's contract with Miami was worth $110 million over 6 years, with the early termination clause after year four. And interestingly, LeBron, Wade, and Bosch all gave up more than $10 million each, signing for less than the maximum so they could work all three of their deals into the salary cap. In 2011, LeBron was the most hated man in basketball, and the majority of the world was happy when he lost the finals to Dirk and the Mavs. But next year, LeBron bounced back, spectacularly got rid of the Celtics, and his decision became worth it when Miami defeated the Thunder for his first NBA title. Next year, the Heat repeated as champions, but after they lost in 2014, LeBron was on the move again, rejecting Miami and heading home to Cleveland. Apart from making a full circle and promising to bring a title to his hometown, it was interesting how James structured his contract. Instead of signing a 4-year deal, he opted for a 1-year contract with a player option. It was the first time ever a player chose that kind of short-term contract, but it proved to be a really smart move on many different levels. First, it kept the pressure on the Cavaliers to keep improving the team, knowing that James could leave each summer. When LeBron rejoined the Cavaliers in 2014, the Cavs didn't yet own his bird rights, which meant they could only offer him a 4.5% raise each year. When the Cavs regained his bird rights, it allowed LeBron to sign a deal with 7.5% raises each season. However, the most notable reason for LeBron was surely the incoming 2016 TV deal, which caused the salary cap to explode. In 2015, LeBron opted out of his contract, signed another 1+1 deal with a player option, and opted out again after winning the title in 2016. And that's when he decided to cash in, signing a $100 million contract for 3 years. With a $31 million salary for the 2017 season, LeBron became the highest paid player in the NBA for the first and only time. That basically means he was underpaid for his entire career based on his production and value on and off the court. James knows it too, but he made sure he doubled and tripled his salary with smart investments. Shortly after the decision and moving to Miami, LeBron started fully realizing the power of equity and ownership instead of just receiving short-term cash for endorsements. In 2011, he bought 2% of ownership in Liverpool Football Club for $6.5 million. The club's value skyrocketed in recent years, from $480 million in 2010 to more than $4.5 billion today. Fenway Sports Group, which acquired the English club in 2010, agreed to trade LeBron's 2% ownership of Liverpool into 1% ownership of the entire company. Apart from Liverpool, the Fenway Group also owns the Boston Red Sox, Pittsburgh Penguins, Fenway Park, and 80% of the New England Sports Network. When LeBron played for Team USA at the 2012 Olympics, he gifted the entire team Beats by Dre headphones, and the whole team of the most popular athletes at the Olympics wore them before and after the games. It was marketing at its finest, but LeBron didn't get any cash for endorsing Beats. Instead, he received small ownership of the company. When Beats sold to Apple for $3 billion, Kendrick Perkins claimed that LeBron's cut was worth nearly $700 million, but that is exaggerated. James probably earned around $30 million when Beats sold, plus some Apple stocks that tripled their worth today. In 2015, James walked away from an endorsement agreement with McDonald's worth an estimated $15 million and instead became an investor in the fast-growing Blaze pizza chain. He reportedly paid just $1 million for a 10% slice of the pizza company, pun intended. Blaze Pizza has since grown to more than 300 company-owned and franchised stores throughout the U.S. and Canada, and LeBron's share is now worth more than $30 million. Also in 2015, he signed a lifetime deal with Nike, which is estimated to rake in more than $30 million annually into LeBron's account. James has taken equity in brands like fitness company Beachbody, which acquired Ladder, the sports nutrition company James co-founded with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He also owns stocks in Apple, Lyft, and some other well-known brands, and is endorsing huge companies like AT&T, Pepsi, and Kia. But again, that's not where he makes most of his bread. It's almost unbelievable how he does it, but LeBron is also the owner of multiple businesses. Even though the decision became a flop from the basketball standpoint, LeBron and his longtime friend and business partner Maverick Carter quickly realized the power of producing their own content and how they are no longer confined by TV and big media companies. In December 2014, LeBron and Maverick launched Uninterrupted, a digital platform designed for athletes to give testimonials about their experiences. Their most notable project is The Shop, a talk show that features famous people from all forms of entertainment. In 2020, Uninterrupted, James's marketing agency, and Spring Hill Entertainment all became the Spring Hill Production Company. With more than $100 million raised by investors, Spring Hill quickly became a major player in movie production. Their most notable project is Space Jam 2, starring LeBron, which earned more than $160 million worldwide. They also produced the HBO documentary What's My Name? Muhammad Ali, and the Netflix movie Hustle, starring Adam Sandler, among other projects. In October of 2021, Spring Hill reportedly sold a share of its company for $725 million, but LeBron still remains the biggest shareholder. In 2022, Forbes announced that LeBron became a billionaire, becoming just the third billionaire athlete ever, behind Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. James is currently the all-time leader in earned salary in NBA history, and he'll finish the 2023 season with $435 million earned in the NBA before taxes and fees. Considering James is still averaging nearly 30 points per game, it's reasonable that he'll sign another maximum contract that would push his NBA earnings over $500 million. Considering that he owns several companies, is a marketer's dream for endorsing products, is a smart investor in up-and-coming startups, and his lifetime deal with Nike, he's still going to earn about $100 million every year, even when he retires. That's a solid chunk of change for a kid from Akron who couch surfed to survive. And it's safe to say that he really is the chosen one and the king.
Hey, you moved my stump. I'm gonna wreck it.
I can fix it.
Bye.
Harrison Ford.
Of peace in the sun's peace of mind. I know it's hard sometimes. Yeah, I think about the end just way too much, but it's fun to fantasize on my enemies who wouldn't wish who I was. But it's fun to fantasize. Oh, I'm boring, so I'm taking my time on my ride. Time on my ride, taking my time on my ride. I die for you, that's easy to say. We have a list of people that we would take. A bullet for them, a bullet for you, a bullet for everybody in this room. But they don't seem to see many bullets coming through. See many bullets coming through. Metaphorically, I'm the man, but literally, I don't know what I do. I'd live for you, and that's hard to do. Even harder to say when you know it's not true. Even harder to write when you know that tonight there will be people back home who try talking to you, but then you ignore them still. All these questions, they're falling like, who would you live for? Who would you die for? And would you ever kill? Oh, I'm falling, so I'm taking my time on my ride. Time on my ride, taking my time on my ride. I've been thinking too much. I've been thinking too much. I've been thinking too much. I've been thinking too much.
Help me.
I've been thinking too much.
I've been thinking too much.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM WGXC. Acre Catskill Hudson. Sorry, we just had something playing, but we're going to react to that right now. Acre Catskill Hudson and a Wavefarm website, wavefarm.org. Let's go right into it. And I'm joined with...
What? DJ Sean Money. Yeah?
What?
So...
I want to react to it.
Okay, I'm holding it.
First off, you messed me up because you said you wanted to reaction, but I got confused because I thought you, well, first you said you wanted to play it, and then you said you wanted to do reaction, and it messed me up, and I wasn't expecting you to unmute your mic, so it kind of confused me a little bit there. That could have been a little bit of better communication, but it's okay.
That's okay, that's okay.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
We're just reacting to it live. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Three, two, hold on.
One. And Harrison Ford at 30 was a carpenter.
What do you mean cars?
Didn't design who? Her first dress.
Harrison Ford, the guy who not invented 40, cars, but pretty much Captain sold the most Rush. Cars ever.
Okay.
join the Navy at 50.
Join the Navy at 50?
Wait, rewind it a little bit.
I'm very lost.
All the way back.
Navy.
Let's go back a little bit. Here
Did
we go.
You know
sorry,
that
sorry.
Harrison Ford at
You're killing me.
Was a carpenter? Vera Wang didn't design her first dress until she was 40. Even Captain Crunch joined the Navy at 50.
Captain Crunch, the GOAT.
All I'm saying is that you youngins is running around here trying to be somebody when you don't even know who you are yet. You know what happened to Oprah at 23? She got fired. Uh-oh. Imagine firing Oprah.
Yeah, well, that was a mistake.
No, it wasn't.
The way he just shuts him down is great.
She was just some 23-year-old punk who needed to get fired so she could become Oprah. Sometimes you gotta fail to succeed. I did.
Tight. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. But, yeah, that's crazy. A bunch of successful people, like Oprah,
were failures.
Until they found out what they wanted to do. And that's because when you fail, actually, why is it doing that? You're not actually failing. You're laying down the bricks to succeed. Even if you stumble and fall, that means you can climb up what you just laid down to get right back up, and it'll be easier than ever. And then once you're right back up, you can keep on building. And then you'll just keep getting better and better, just like with anything, you know, practice makes perfect. And then you'll keep on building faster, and you'll have more of a base to keep on building on, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's pretty much that.
Okay.
And we also got one more thing to react to.
I was just about to ask, do you want to play, what do you want to play? Because we got a couple of things to react to. We could play The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, The Rock. So The Rock, everybody knows Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But what you didn't know is that he was actually arrested at 17. Before he was The Rock, he was just Dwayne Johnson. That sounds so weird to say Dwayne Johnson without including The Rock.
Dwayne the Wait, is it Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Yeah, but before he was The Rock. That's before he was just Dwayne Johnson.
I mean, is his official name Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Or
No.
Dwayne Johnson?
His real name is Dwayne Johnson, but everybody knows him as The Rock, because he's The Rock.
But did he change his name to Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Nah. Hmm. That's...
I always wondered that.
Right?
Like, you think bro changed his middle name? Like, my middle name's The Rock.
I mean, you pretty much can do that.
Yeah, that's why I wondered, right?
Honestly, if I was that successful with something, I would do that too.
I would market my name.
Right?
But anyways, let's get into the video.
Decades to do what I'm getting ready to do now.
Dwayne Johnson is...
And this is Access Hollywood, by the way.
Mistakes. On Sunday, the 50-year-old movie star explained to fans on his Instagram that when he was younger, he used to steal Snickers bars, quote, every day from a 7-Eleven.
He actually got arrested for something. It might have been that.
He is making that wrong a right by returning to that store and paying it forward.
Where's your Snickers? When I was 14 years old, every day I used to stop here at the 7-Eleven and steal a king-size Snicker bar because I couldn't afford to buy one.
That's
that was
crazy.
Pre-workout food. I did that for almost
That's
a year.
That's him at 14?
I had to come back and buy three Snickers bars on those shelves.
What's your name?
He looks like 20.
DK, ring all these up. DK's like,
Not only did the Black Adam stunt buy every Snickers bar in the store, but he
All right, we're going to talk over them because, no offense, but we're better. No, I'm joking. Much love to Access Hollywood and them dropping this so we can go to that. But yeah, before he was Dwayne The Rock Johnson, before he was a wrestler, an actor, or a singer, or at least professionally, you know, he could have done those things on his own time. He probably did. But before he was professionally known for everything, or anything, really, he had to steal because he didn't have money. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. That's wild to me. But
right?
I don't blame him. Like,
and bro really returned the favor and went there and bought every Snickers bar just so when somebody came in, they could just grab it. Here, we can keep playing.
Yes.
Go into that.
Oh my gosh.
You're welcome. We got you, brother. Come on. You want anything? You got anything?
Appreciate
And now he's just Mr. Beasting it up and paying for everybody.
Mr. Rock Beast.
Yeah, that's just for you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'm going to leave these here. If somebody looks like they're stealing Snickers,
the Beast Johnson.
Thank you. After decades, I have a high. Now come on over here. Let's take a picture.
I got to go. The Rock is here. Bye.
After decades of me wanting to come back home to 7-Eleven and try and make good, that felt really, really good. I'm out.
In his caption, the Jumanji star revealed
but yeah, that's
that
pretty much
was
it.
Evicted.
And if you want to go, you can go to Access Hollywood on their YouTube channel. Oh no, we're good. I think it's just them talking.
No, I mean,
you want
to? When I watched it earlier, they kind of went into like.
All right, let's go then.
Just life.
An but, acting career, his shoplifting weighed on him. Quote, we can't change the past and some of the dumb stuff we may have done, but every once in a while we can add a little redeeming grace note to that situation. And maybe put a big smile on some stranger's faces.
That's
facts. On Instagram. Dwayne's life has
putting a smile on somebody's face is free,
14.
And then they'll return the favor.
He went on to be
mostly
a professional wrestler for WWE and since transitioned into acting, becoming one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Since finding massive success, he has continued to give back, supporting kids with cancer, surprising students with disabilities, and he even bought his mother a home. But
that's crazy.
To buy your mom a home is a crazy feat.
Plus, starting, I'm pretty sure if I heard that right, a learning program for people with disabilities. That's crazy nice. I did take a little screenshot of it earlier, so I'm going to dive into that while the video is playing.
But above everything else, The Rock is still a proud dad. In October, he told Access Hollywood, Zuri Hall, that he works hard to be a present father.
You know, you made every parent feel seen. When you
here
were
we go.
About the fact, presence, right? Wanting to be more present, particularly now.
That's crazy. Before he was The Rock, you want to know what he was known for?
To be open about
he
that.
Was known
present?
For being on the
your
newspaper
girls,
for stealing.
Getting awakened with water balloons in
yes.
the morning. Is it better
oh
than
my
coffee?
God. Water balloon on the face in the morning.
I mean, I'm
yes.
like, do they like you?
It's,
like,
a, it's the favorite game. They love to close your eyes, Daddy, is
yeah,
the favorite game.
Yeah.
Here's what I could tell you. I tried my best to be as present.
So I was wrong. It was actually somebody earlier, LeBron, that I was thinking about. He provided scholarships for as many as 2,300 children.
You know, you become a product.
Just because he wants people to get an education. That's something as an underdog, amazing. Like, it's something amazing for somebody who's just born with it, but somebody who's came from that situation trying to help out, there's some real redeeming humanity qualities. Because sometimes I get a little disappointed in us, not gonna lie.
Yeah, you wonder sometimes, I don't know about y'all, but, you know, we have people like this that make us bounce back, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to talk about some more underdog stories.
All right. So, I got a song. I got two underdog stories. Which one?
Let's go into this song.
Song. All right. Three, two,
and
three.
This song is called Underdog by Connor Price.
By Connor Price!
It'll fall on me. I ain't wanna talk now, but they call on me. What you running from, huh? Let me talk my piece. Yeah, ain't nobody outdoing me on my own thing except that. Took a couple years, had a setback. Went back to the drawing board, put the pen back. Left that out by the bed where I slept at. Just in case I might forget that, and they don't get that. Hitting me up like you don't text back. Real friends get it, I don't sweat that. Too busy trying to turn Jetta to an S-Class. Get lab, turn a backpack to a jetpack. Then I went past them. Funny how I went from plateau to platinum. Funny how I skipped my class and outclassed them. Funny how I'm last out, but I outlast them. But they ain't laughing now. Put them in the ring, won't last around. Pack a punch like a Pacquiao. You to cast me out, but me, I'm the underdog. Put it all on me. Undercover boss. It'll fall on me. I ain't wanna talk, nah. But they call on me. What you running from, huh? Let me
talk my peace. Look, Monday to Sunday, never skip one day. Do this for my family and my son's sake. I never complain, I just go uptake. Give me a shot and I took it, no pump fake. Listen close, what's it gonna be? You can sink or flow. We gon' find out when they miss the bowl. Switch up the beat like a sicko mode. Hard drive full of these bullets, they know that it's loaded. They dealt me some bullets, you know I ain't folding. They see what I read and they know when I wrote it. I mean what I said and they know when I spoke it. I still got a ways to go. Learn from the greats, I'm taking some notes. Promise I got it, I'm taking an oath. Red popping up like I'm making some toast. Yeah, do it my own way. Ain't no one telling me how I can move, okay? Move it my own pace. I got a lot on my list to do, okay? No one in my lane. I'm on the one and there'll never be two, okay? I just keep making the rules, okay? Won't lose, okay? Look, I'm the underdog. Put it all on me. Undercover boss. It all fall on me. I ain't wanna talk now, but they call on me. What you running from, huh? Let me talk my.
Sell to millions of people online with Shopify.
Since entering the NBA as the number one overall pick in 2011, Kyrie Irving has emerged as one of the league's most dazzling talents. But he's also become one of the sporting world's most polarizing stars. So how did this Australian-born kid become such an entertaining enigma? This is the story behind Kyrie Irving. Kyrie was born to Dredrick and Elizabeth Irving in Melbourne, spending the first 2 years of his life in Australia while his pops, who failed to make the Celtics after a collegiate career at Boston University, played professional basketball down under. After relocating to the States, Irving grew up in West Orange, New Jersey, where his love for the game and his grand ambitions for the future took shape. Irving lost his mother to a sudden illness when he was only four, leaving Dredrick to raise Kyrie and his two sisters as a single father.
The Hello, everybody. Even bring his Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, and this is the story of Kyrie Irving, but more importantly, Clubhouse Radio. Kyrie is the GOAT. But what we're focusing on today, Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM, WGXC, Acre Catskill, and Hudson. And today is all about underdogs, all about GOATs, all of that. And while the story of Kyrie Irving by The Score is playing, if you like them and like what they're talking about, check them out on The Score at YouTube. But yeah, we're just talking about all the underdogs today. And so far we've talked about Slim Shady, one of the GOATs. I mean, they're all GOATs, let's be honest. Like Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Excuse me. Somebody in the drop-in center that we're in just made some loud noise, but that's okay, because you're allowed to do that here at the drop-in center at Clubhouse Radio. Or more specifically, Clubhouse, because Clubhouse Radio, let's break that down. Clubhouse. The Clubhouse is a drop-in center, which is pretty much like a community center, but better, because we're brought to you by the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. So we got everything a community center would, like a fridge stocked full of yummy food, pizzas, Hot Pockets, tater tots, chicken nuggets, although we are out of chicken nuggets, because me and somebody else ate them all.
Bro, what are you talking about?
Did you zone out? I was talking about
Chicken nuggets.
The drop-in center, you know, we got chicken nuggets sometimes. See, the loud noise distracted me, and I used that as a segue to talk about, you know, why is there the loud noise? Because we're a drop-in center. We got youth here, you know? We're located 455 Main Street, open from Monday to Friday, 2 to 8 p.m. And yeah, like I said, we have everything that a community center has, but we also have mental health trained professionals. So if you're going through a rough time and need somebody to talk to or need to be hooked up with further resources, we can provide that as well. We got some, what's it called? Toiletries, toothpaste, toilet paper, all that. But yeah, you can come on by, and you know, maybe the next GOAT is lurking here at Clubhouse. Maybe going to Clubhouse could make you the next GOAT. See, it's gonna be like, what's it called? Ninjago. Everybody's thinking they're the Green Ninja, then some random kid comes by and it's gonna be him.
But yeah, I think
it's me. I'm Kai. I was supposed to be a great ninja.
But yeah, I think that's a good way to segue out into the video. You think so? Once again, this is The Score. If you want to check them out on YouTube, The Score. I mean, that's a pretty simple name, right? T-H-E-S-C-O-R-E.
As had been the case at
Duke, yeah, that's right. But yeah, this is Clubhouse Radio, and we're tuning you out. Can't wait to see you guys next week, and we hope you have an underdog story of your own. And hey, if you do, you can email it us at ourtownourtruth@gmail.com or text it to us at 518-291-6066. One more time, ourtownourtruth@gmail.com. 518-291-6066. And bye, everybody. You will have the last words.
See you later.
Season anyway, as it was during the spring of 2012 that we were first introduced to Uncle Drew.
Don't reach, young blood. Don't reach, young blood.
Between the success of those Pepsi ads and Irving's production on the court, it didn't take long to figure out Kyrie would soon be one of the faces of the NBA. And by the end of his third season in the league, 22-year-old Kyrie was already a 20-plus per game scorer, a two-time All-Star, and an All-Star Game MVP, while teasing the clutch heroics that would come in the future.
Sizing up Anderson, long three!
As other youngsters have come to understand, however, it doesn't take long for fresh-faced NBA stars to go from endearing golden boys in the eyes of fans and pundits to magnets for criticism, with every flaw picked apart. The knock on Kyrie was obvious. No one doubted how entertaining of a baller he was, but through three individually productive seasons, the Cavs had compiled a record of 78 wins and 152 losses, with Irving missing 49 games due to various injuries over those three seasons. The guy was barely into his early 20s, and was already being labeled the type of empty calorie star you can't win with. Luckily for Cavs fans, they would no longer have to worry about whether a team led by Kyrie Irving could win, because thanks in large part to Irving's presence in Cleveland, LeBron was willing to return in 2014, and after winning the lottery for the third time in 4 years, Cleveland later traded number one overall pick Andrew Wiggins to Minnesota in a summer blockbuster for Kevin Love. In the span of weeks, Kyrie went from the best player on a terrible, irrelevant team to the second or third best player on a loaded, all-time team with championship expectations.
Kevin is pushing every chance.
Give him a good angle to make the pass, and LeBron lays it in.
The James Irving Love Big Three would go to four straight finals. But a lot happened along the way. After Kelly Olynyk tried to pull Kevin Love's arm apart like a chicken wing in the first round of the 2015 playoffs, Irving suffered a knee fracture in game one of the finals, leaving LeBron and Matthew Dellavedova all alone in a valiant six-game defeat against Golden State's emerging dynasty. A year later, Kyrie and the Cavs would redeem themselves in the most iconic way possible, rallying back from a 3-1 deficit against the 73-win Warriors in the 2016 Finals, with Irving matching James's 41 points in Game 5, and then knocking down one of the biggest shots in NBA history in Game 7.
Trying to get him on Irving. Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Irving puts it up. It's good! Kyrie Irving from downtown!
Every story needs a climax. And for Irving and the Cavs, things would only unravel from there. The Cavs barely had time to flush the champagne out of their system before learning that those 73-win Warriors would be adding Kevin Durant, and that for all intents and purposes, though LeBron would never accept it, Cleveland and the rest of the league would now be playing for second place. The 2016-17 version of the Cavs was actually the best team Cleveland fielded during its four-year finals run. And Irving put together perhaps his finest season, averaging roughly 25 points and 6 assists on 47-40-91 shooting splits, while suiting up for 72 games. But those mighty 2017 Cavs ran into the mightier Warriors, who swiftly dispatched of Cleveland in 5 games,
And despite the team's success as a whole, tensions began boiling over well before the finals, leading to speculation throughout the season that perhaps the James Irving partnership wasn't made for the long haul.
I think a lot of it's been overblown. I think the people that are in this building every day haven't seen any of that animosity. This is, and along with Kevin Love, this is a group that has got us to 3 straight finals and won an NBA championship together. They play great together on the floor. And a lot of that, I do think, is overblown. And we haven't seen a lot of this animosity that sort of have been out there in the media.
It was also during the 2016-17 season that the world got its first whiff of Kyrie's asinine flat earther beliefs and his affinity for conspiracy theories.
This is not a conspiracy.
The earth is flat.
Yeah, no, the earth is flat.
Oh, here we go.
The earth is flat. Yeah. I think you need to do research on it. Like, ultimately.
But who's say the research that you do is going to give you the answer? Like, has the answer?
Because it's right in front of our faces. I'm telling you, it's right in front of our faces.
On that same podcast with teammates Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye, Irving also went into theories about the Federal Reserve assassinating JFK and the CIA trying to kill Bob Marley. Kyrie did apologize to science teachers the next year, but it probably didn't help his case in the court of public opinion that the tongue-in-cheek apology came in the same conversation that included these words.
Voice and even if you believe in that, it's like you just... Like, well, don't come out and say that stuff. That's for intimate conversations, because perception, while you're received, it just changes. Like, no, I'm actually a smart-ass individual. Like, no, it's just because...
yeah.
Like, so it's not like...
Anyway, Irving demanded a trade out of Cleveland in the summer of 2017, and reports later emerged that Kyrie would have been willing to skip training camp